But during the week, they live like the devil. All right, this is what the Bible says in this section, all right? So I'm asking again, do you think we're living in the last times? Amen. There's a reason why people become religious and not, you see, the church has not been called to become a religious organization. We should become a movement of God. The younger generation does not want to serve God anymore. They want to go to church anymore for a simple fact that we lack the power of God in our churches. Let me tell you, I'm traveling all over the world, all over South Africa. There's churches. I've been to a church. They've got 15 members, 15 members. The power of God shook a city, a town. It turned the town upside down. The last service, I was scheduled for 3 meetings. I was eventually there for 8 days. The last night, more than 500 people packed that place. 95% of that place gave their life to Jesus Christ. I spoke to the preacher. He said to me, this is not Christians. This is stone cold sinners of the world that does not want to come to church. At the last meeting, he came to me. He said, listen, you created this problem. I said, what problem? He said, I'm not used to having such many people in my church. What am I going to do? I said, it's time to get to know the Holy Ghost and His power. And He will sustain the move of God. Come on, help me out in this place. There's a reason why churches are falling to pieces, because we've got all the programs in the world, but we deny the power of God. You can have programs, but if you do not have the power, it means nothing. Let me tell you, in this last days, the final moment that we're living in, a man messaged me. He said to me, he saw me on television every Saturday, for you guys that do not know, on channel 341 DSTV, 10:30, every Saturday morning, I've got a program on there. But he said, he messaged me and he said, I just saw you on television. I just want to give you this dream I had. He said, in this dream, that he heard a siren coming out of the heavens. He said, but when the siren was sounding, he said that he understood that this is like a warning a sound that he's hearing. Please hear me out. And he says that when he heard the sound, he said he saw sick people. But he said, Jesus said to him, this is my church. He saw them sick. He said he saw them dying. He said the church is falling in pieces. And he said, Jesus said to him, this is my church. This is the way my church looks. They are sick. They are dying. And I don't have people looking after them anymore. He says, and behold, I am coming quickly. Tell my people, the sound that they are hearing, it's the sound of my coming back. And I want to tell you now this is for sure, even if you do not believe it or not, one day you're going to stand before God, and I'm going to stand before God, and we will see whose doctrine was right. Let me tell you, I'm a mechanic in the Word of God. I've studied this thing my whole life. Jesus Christ is coming back, and He's coming back very quickly. I said He's coming back very quickly. If Paul, let's say 2,000 years ago, Paul started prophesying this to Timothy, and he says, these things will come in the last times. Now listen, this is happening all over the world. It's happening. But you know why? I want to tell you something. People deny the existence of the Holy Spirit. People deny the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one that takes... Let me help you quickly understand. When you have the Holy Spirit in your house, when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you will not have children that is disobedient to you. It's impossible for a child to be disobedient when the fire of the Holy Ghost burns upon his life. It's impossible for somebody to not have self-control. The reason why people do not have self-control is because they do not have the Holy Spirit who controls the temple. Now, listen to me. Do you know what I love about the Bible? The Bible says in Genesis 1, He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Can I read this to you quickly? Come on, if you have your Bible, I want to bless you. The Holy Spirit was active in creation. Who knows that? All right, 2 people. He says, in the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. He says, the Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. I want to jump to another scripture very quickly, and I'm going to explain this to you, and I'm going to get to the core of the message. Now, listen to me. The Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. It was desolated. It was a mess. Come on, say mess. It was empty. But the Bible says now, when the darkness came over the earth, the Holy Spirit, come say Holy Spirit. Say it again, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved over the waters. When the Holy Spirit started moving over the waters, listen to what the Bible says. God said, now this is God the Father. He said, let there be light. And light came. Now study this. Do you know what actually happened in existence when God spoke, let there be light? The scholars reckoned in the original Hebrew language, they say that when God said, let there be light, it was something miraculously. It was not the sun coming up.
Yeah, amen.
I don't want to go into too much doctrine, but listen to me. The Bible says in the book of Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When God created the heavens and the earth, everything was created. Even the sun was there. So between Genesis 1 verse 1 and Genesis 1 verse 2, millions or say billions of years happened. Did you know that? Because Genesis 1 verse 2 says, and he says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 verse 2, and the earth was empty and darkness was, or waters filled the earth. So if you look at the Bible, it says God created. God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
Created means that everything was perfected.
Yes.
And then next to that, the right next verse says, and there was chaos. All of a sudden it's chaos. Everything's dark. What happened? Because of sin. Lucifer fell. And what happened was the sun was darkened. For the simple reason, did you know that whenever you see darkness, darkness means judgment. So judgment was upon the face of the earth. That's why it was dark. And then when God said, let there be light, what happened? Jesus shone, because this is what John chapter 1 verse 5 says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus said, I am the light of this world.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. So what happened was, Jesus, he was shining his light, and as his light shone, creation came back. But it couldn't happen. Now let me tell you, you can sit in this place, you can be empty, you can be dark, you can be without form. Everything in your life seems like a mess for the simple fact we do not have the Holy Ghost. When you have the Holy Spirit that convicts you of your sin and that fills you and helps you and controls you, what happens? The light, Christ Jesus, he said he's the light. Think about this, the Bible says when the New Jerusalem comes from the heavens, he says there will be no sun. Why? Because Jesus Christ shall be the light. This is what Genesis was talking about. The same light that will be shining in the New Jerusalem was shining when God said, let there be light. Jesus shone his power over the face of this earth. Come on. And life returned into earth. So the only way that you can get to Jesus is through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come on, help me out. Nobody can. Who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Come on, I want to see your hand. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you cannot believe that Jesus is the Son of God unless the Holy Spirit pulls you to the Christ. This is the reason why you're here. Did you know that you can't even come to church without the Holy Spirit? Many people ask me, who's this Holy Spirit? I want to say this very quickly. The Holy Spirit is Jesus unlimited. When Jesus came to earth, he was limited. I want to ask you this, and I want you to envision this quickly. But think about this before I get to this. I see many people's got an intimate issue. They can't be intimate with their spouses. They can't be intimate with people because they lack intimacy with the Holy Spirit. If you can't give affection, it's the only reason for that is because you lack revelation and intimacy of the Holy Spirit. When you change that, you will see it's easy to give love because God is love.
Amen.
You can't give what you don't have. If you don't have a fresh revelation of who He is, you can't give it out to people. Come on, somebody help me out. Do you understand this? So if you have intimacy issues, you have to get to know the Holy Spirit. I said, you have to get to know the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit, now think about this, and I want you to picture this right now. Imagine you were standing next to Jesus. Say, for instance, Jesus was 1 meter from you. And you watched him every day as he was walking. Picture yourself, all right? Picture yourself, part of the disciples. You were walking with Jesus. As he was talking about his Father's kingdom, and he was talking about repentance, and he was speaking with such power. The Bible says that who's this man? We've never heard a man speak with such authority. And you see this man standing a meter away from you. And you hear him say, roll away the stone. All right? And here you go. And you start pushing the stone away. And you watch intimately. What is this man going to do? The next moment, you hear him 1 meter away from you. All right? Not far away. 1 meter from you. You see him. You're part of the disciples. And you hear him cry out, Lazarus, come forth. All right? And here you see Lazarus coming out of the tomb. Think about this now. My God, who is this man that he commands the dead to be raised? Who is this man that he commands the dead to be raised? And then he says to you, listen, unwrap him. And then you start to unwrap Lazarus. The man who was dead for 4 days, stinking already. Now stands right in front of you, alive.
Amen.
Think about this now. Think about this, all right? My title this morning, it's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by my spirit. Okay, now think about this. The next day, you eat with Jesus, and here's Lazarus, and he's laughing with Jesus. And think about this now. Let's go back one day. Jesus called him out. Lazarus coming out of the tomb. You see it with your own eyes. You unwrap him. Jesus is wiping away the tears from his eyes because Jesus wept. Come on, the Bible says Jesus wept. So you see the Son of God next to you wiping away the tears. And joy starts to fall everybody because Lazarus that was dead for 4 days is now alive. Come on. He's now alive. You sit and eat the next day with Lazarus. Think about you're sitting next to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All right? Think about get yourself in another scenario. You sit in a boat. And all of a sudden the storm is raging. The storm is raging. All right, the water is filling this boat. I'm getting somewhere right now. The water is filling the boat. You jump up. You run back to Jesus Christ. You say, Lord Jesus, don't you care that I'm about to die? Everybody in this boat is about to sink. And Jesus rose up and he rebukes the winds and the seas. And he says, peace, be still. And you fall backwards and you say, who's this man? Amen. That even the winds obey him. The storm obeys him. You lay on a mountain. You started praying with the Son of God. You fell asleep. All of a sudden, you're waking up to this glorious light shining on this mountain. And all of a sudden, his appearance starts to change. Come on, you are one of the disciples. You see his face starting changing. His beard starts to change. His robe changes color. From a reddish color, it becomes white as a bright light. And all of a sudden, next to Jesus, you see Moses. And you see Elijah. And you say, Lord Jesus, can we make 3 tents for them to stay in? And all of a sudden, you hear from the heavens. You say, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And the next morning, as Jesus came up, if you understand this portion of Scripture, that Moses represented the law, the Torah. Elijah represented the church, the power. Amen. They discussed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's the first time they heard about, you know what the Bible says, that does the translation, it says as Jesus came down, they baffled to each other. What is this about the crucifixion? Jesus came to them, he said, I'm going to die on the cross. They didn't believe it. They couldn't understand this. Think about this, you see this Jesus, that he is walking down the street, you're walking next to him. Just here, you can actually just reach out your hand and you can touch him. And a leprous fell before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I am. I'm willing, be cleansed. And immediately in front of your eyes, you see a leprous man. He all of a sudden, he's alive or he's healed. Amen. And you think to yourself, my God, who is this man? He heals, he changes and he delivers. And I believe that if you think about this, that all the miracles they saw, the raising of the dead, the power of God they saw, it didn't change them. I've asked God this question yesterday. I said, why do people who see miracles, they see the eyes, blind eyes opening up. They see the dead being raised. I mean, I'm talking about people that's may say part of my team. Why don't they change? And I had this revelation and I'm going to give this here. The Bible says that when Jesus hung on the cross, I think this was the saddest part I read. Is everybody left him. They went fishing. Amen. Jesus said to you, listen, wait for me in Jerusalem. I'm going to meet you there. And you say, listen, buddies, get the fishing rods. We're going to fish. He's dead now. Think about this. They saw miracles. You saw a man coming out of a grave. He was dead for 4 days. You saw this Jesus rebuking the winds and the seas. Commanding them to be still. Let me tell you, the Bible says, if you look at somebody being raised from the dead, that's power. Blind eyes opening up, that's power. I said, that's power. Come on, say, that's power. If you see Jesus standing up, rebuking the winds and the seas, that's power. If you see Jesus on a mountain being transformed and changed, immediately his image changed, that's might. Amen. That's why the Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. This is the reason why they didn't believe him. Because miracles can't change a stone cold heart. Blind eyes, when God opens the blind eyes, it will not change a stone cold heart. If you do not desire after God, it means you do not have the Holy Spirit. The reason why these men left, they ran. When they said, well, I saw Peter, part of the disciples, he said, I do not know him. Do you know why? The only reason why Peter said, I do not know him, is because Peter did not have the power of the Holy Spirit. Because a man with power is not afraid to die. Look at Stephen, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And when they stoned him, he cried out, I see the heavens open, I see Jesus standing next to the Father. He didn't say, I do not know Jesus Christ. You see, this is what happens when they saw the power, they saw the miracles. But yet they do not believe, because no man can believe unless you have the Holy Spirit. This is what changes people. If you do not have a desire to live a holy life, it means you do not have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is not a wind, people of God. He's a person that is more needed than anything else. So what do I say when Jesus was on the earth? Do you know what he said to his disciples? He said that there's many things I want to tell you, but I can't. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal it to you. Why? Because if Jesus revealed it to his disciples, they would not believe him. Because you can't believe anything unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to your heart. You can't believe that Jesus is a healer unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Come and help me. Wave at me if you understand what I'm saying. You need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes Jesus a reality to your life. So the Holy Spirit is Jesus unlimited. When Jesus was walking the face of the earth, he was limited. They didn't believe him. They didn't even believe the wonders, the signs, the miracles. I had young men working for me in ministry. They traveled around the nation. They saw every week, they saw miracles. I'm talking about people getting out of wheelchairs and legs growing out and lumps disappearing, cancers falling out. Every week they saw thousands of people coming to Christ. And do you know what they asked me? They came to me the one day, they said, I want to ask you a question. What do you love about seeing people coming to Christ every week? And they said, well, it's getting boring to see all these miracles and to see all these thousands of people coming to Jesus. They said, what do you like about it? And then I said, you know what? Many are called, few are chosen. I said, you do not know what you say. I said, now I have the release. It's time that you go. You can't be part of something that you do not believe in. And then the Lord showed this to me, that they do not have the Holy Spirit, because the miracles alone can't transform a life. If you have people that see miracles every week, but the hearts are still stone cold, it's because for the simple reason, they grieved the Holy Spirit. Think about this. This baffles my mind. Maybe it baffles yours. Come, Lazarus, come out. The man is standing right in front of them. But yet they ran for the hills. They denied Christ. Do you know what? The Bible says, when Jesus hung on the cross, all questioned if he was the Son of God. Even John the Baptist. Think about this crazy man. And he was really crazy. He ate locusts and all those kinds of things. But when he baptized Jesus, and he said this with his own mouth. He said, this is the Son of God, the Lamb who will take away the sins of the world. Next chapter, he comes and he sends out his disciples to Jesus and say, his disciples came and say, John asked, are you the one? Or should we wait for somebody else? How can you announce a new season in your life and then doubt it again? How can you say, well, this is my season, and then my God, what are we going to do? Make up your mind. Is he the Christ to you, or is he dead to you? Don't serve the Lord because you need healing. Serve him because you love him. I said, serve him because you love him. You need to be transformed through the Holy Spirit's power. This is what you need. Because the Bible says in these last days that perilous times will come, harsh times. You know what? I don't want to go into politics, but if you just watch the news, China is getting ready. The president announced that he said he's getting ready for World War III. In other words, Jesus is coming to get his church. But he's not coming to get his church that's lukewarm and cold. I know what the world says. The world says, well, your sins has been forgiven. Well, your sins is forgiven if you are born again. Amen. Jesus said you must be born again. He said if you want to enter into the kingdom, you have to be born again. So to be born again means to the old person that you were, it's dead. That person is not no longer alive. You're now a new creation in Jesus Christ. So if you were a sinner and you say this, the sinner's prayer, and you go back to your old sin, then you are not born again. Amen. Because it means that you are the same character, the same man that you were. If you'd return back to your old sin, what did Jesus save you from? The reason why people have seen it, I've got such a passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was speaking to somebody yesterday, and I was speaking to the countries that sometimes we go to where they want to kill you. And he said to me, aren't you afraid to die? I said, no man full of the Holy Ghost is afraid to die. Come on, this is why Paul says, death, where's your sting? If they're going to kill you, I know one thing for sure. If they're going to kill me for the gospel's sake, I'm going to be in glory with Christ Jesus. All right, so death, where's your sting? People say to me, well, you're too passionate. Now, let me help you understand that the Holy Spirit makes a man passionate. Yes. He makes you passionate. Everything I do in life, I do with passion. This is why I get easily upset, because if I don't see people's passion the way I have the passion for something, it annoys me. I want to clap them and say, hey, come on, wake up. Yeah. When I got saved, I got saved. Brother, I got saved. It wasn't, well, I'm saved. Most people are saved on a Sunday. But the only reason why they can't live a Christian life without this precious Holy Spirit. Yes. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have self-control. Yes. You will be able to say no to food. Yes. Come on. And do you know what the Bible says? And from such, turn away. This is what the Bible says. Boasters of self. Yeah. The Holy Spirit's work is to glorify Jesus. This is His work. You will always see where the Word is being preached. Now the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Come on. Yeah. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Yeah. All right. Remember when God in Genesis 1 spoke a word? What happened? The Holy Spirit moved over the waters. Let there be light. So every time the Word is being spoken. Listen, every time the Word is being spoken, the Holy Spirit shows up. So every time the name of Jesus is mentioned, because He's God the Word. Amen. 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 What happens? The Holy Spirit shows up. Amen. I said the Holy Spirit shows up. Amen. This is why people get offended when you speak truth. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Because you speak truth. Now what happens? The Holy Spirit comes to convict. Well, Wessel, there's no such scripture. John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit will come and He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. So people say, don't judge me. It's not, I'm not judging you. Your sin is judging you. Amen. I want to ask you something. Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Lord, I love you. And his heart became bitter or broken. And Jesus said again, Peter, do you really love me? He said, Lord, I know you love me. And He said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now I want to ask you, do you love Moses? Who loves Moses in this place? Amen. Who loves Abraham? Well, I love their courage. Yeah. But I don't love them because I don't know them. Yeah. One day when I come there, I want to say to Moses, thank you for what you did for the kingdom of God. Yeah, thank you for performing signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen? Amen. Abraham, the Bible says he's the father of the nations. Yeah. I honor what Abraham did for the kingdom of God. I honor the God that he serves. But I don't love him. Why? Because I don't know Abraham. I just know about him what I read from him. Because there's only one name that stirs my soul. The Holy Spirit does not make Abraham a reality to you. His job is not to boast in Abraham. His job is not to boast in Moses. What's his job? To boast in Christ. That's why I love him. How can you love a man that you do not have never seen? I haven't seen Moses. I haven't seen Jesus. But the Holy Spirit comes and He makes Him real to me. Amen. That's why I can tell you today for sure, I love Jesus more than I love any man. Amen. He's my first love. Listen, that first love, Jesus said this. He said, I have this against you that you have left your first love. Your first love is not that great one boy that you saw. Okay? It's not that girl that you first kissed. Yeah. That's all those things goes away. Amen. Who's your first love? His name is Jesus. Amen. He's the one that stirs your soul. I always tell people. People say, "Well, we've got meetings sometimes right through the week," and people ask me, "Who has meetings in the week?" I say, "Well, those who are genuine, amen. Those who are hungry for God, those religious guys will only be in a church on a Sunday, but those with a passion. See, listen. If you do not have a hunger for God, you do not have the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you a hunger. If church things bores you, sometimes I have a meeting, then they will tell me, listen, I was in a church the other day. He said to me, I've got 50 minutes. I have to pray for the sick. I have to preach. They're going to do praise and worship. It's a big church, just 50 minutes. Well, I walked out there after 3 hours. The pastor was long gone. The preacher of the church was long gone. I promise you. He messaged me, I had something else to do. I said, well, I'll do your job. While you sit and watch TV, drink coffee. For a simple fact, they don't have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You can sit in my meeting for 4 hours. For 4 hours.
Amen.
And it will feel like 20 minutes.
Yes. Amen.
This is what the Holy Spirit does.
Amen.
Come on, help me out. This is what the Holy Spirit does.
Amen.
So this precious Holy Spirit is the one that reveals Jesus to our lives. He's the one that helps us. I want to just go back to that first, that portion of scripture in the book of Timothy. Men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves, because the Holy Spirit is not revealed to them.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit does not work through them and in them and on them, because when the Holy Spirit is active in any man's life, he will never be a lover of self. He will become a lover of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come, I'm a lover.
Yes.
I said, I'm a lover.
Amen.
Come, where's the lovers at? Some lovers in the place. All right. Now, you will become a lover of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
All right? So this is the sign that we are living in the last days. That people will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money.
Yes.
Now, many people say money is the root of all evil. It's not. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
If I look at your giving, I can tell you if you're a lover of money.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know what's strange? Do you know what's strange? A farmer can't go to his fields and say, well, I want to see where's the millies at? If he didn't plant.
Yeah.
He can't expect a harvest unless there was seed.
Yes.
And this is what people do. They expect God must bless me. He must. God mustn't do anything.
Yes.
Please understand me. If I look at your giving, I will tell you if you're a lover of money.
Amen.
If anything you possess means more to you than Jesus Christ,
yes,
you're a lover of money.
Amen.
And this is what Jesus said. Jesus didn't compare himself to Muhammad or Buddha or any Hindu god. He said, you cannot serve me and mammon. Mammon is the money god. Did you know that?
Yes.
This is what Jesus said. He said, you can't serve two masters. Either you serve me or you serve money.
Yes.
Now, I believe money has been given for the kingdom of God. This is the sole purpose why there's money.
Yes.
It's for the kingdom of God. Oh, it's so quiet now. And if you believe it or not, even when Paul prophesied this, and he said this to Timothy, that hard times is coming.
Yes.
Not for the church.
Yes.
Not for the spirit-filled people.
Amen.
Not for the people that walk with the power of God. Let me tell you, even if hunger strikes the world, you will always have bread in your house.
Amen.
I said, even when people don't love anything, you will love Jesus Christ more than you love yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Many people love the television set.
Yeah.
More than they love spending time in the Word.
Amen.
If you sit in front of your TV, you're going to die in front of your TV.
Yeah.
That's quiet again. And do you know what they do? They sit in front of the TV with food.
Yeah.
And they serve two masters, the TV and food. But when you are spirit-filled, you'll say, I don't care about television. I want to seek His presence. Because this Jesus, you're not going to find Him there. You're not going to find Him in food. This is what Jesus said. Think about this. He said, I have food which you do not know of. Sometimes, I mean, those who know me, I sometimes forget to eat. 10 o'clock at night, my goodness, I haven't ate today. And I've got many preachers. Now, if you look at a pastor, sorry, if you're a preacher in this place, don't take offense. But most preachers I know, big dummies, fat guys. Okay, you're not traveling as much as I do. And they ask me, what are you doing right? And I say, well, I've got food that you do not know of. Because you know why? The church, they the Alifurum cook sisters and cook. Kom in die tannies, wil nie tegen, eet dit by my huis. All right. But you will love the more, the Lord more than anything else. If you love your car more than you love Jesus, you are not saved.
Amen.
If you love possessions more than you love Christ Jesus, then you do not have the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved, because the Holy Spirit will always give you a greater love for Jesus than anything in this world.
Amen.
Come on, I need to speak to somebody in this place. Who hears me out? If you love your husband more than you love Jesus, you're going to lose your husband. I have seen this, that God will rather take people away from you. Let me help you understand this. God will never allow you to get into your next dimension. He will never release you into your next dimension unless you release the thing that keeps you away from your next dimension. There's many times it's people. Many times people will say they love you and they will keep you away from your destiny. And then what God will do is God will shake you to your core. And people say, well, God does not do that. Well, read your Bible. God allows things in your life in order for you to open your eyes and understand, well, this relationship was never from God. Don't love man, then you love Jesus Christ. I heard many women say, well, if this guy leaves me, I don't know how I'm going to live. Let me tell you, you're going to live. And you're going to wake up the next morning and you're going to breathe. But don't live without Jesus Christ. You can live without any man. Let me tell you, you can live a life in confinement. With Jesus Christ in your life, you will never be alone. Yeah. Listen to me, you will never be alone. Yeah. Don't seek your self-worth in a man or in a woman. You seek it in Jesus Christ. This is where it should be. And I want to tell you something. If you live in sin with a man, either you marry him or you leave him. Amen. Well, that's quiet again. Amen. If you live in sin, you either marry or you leave him. Amen. This is what the Bible says we should do. The Bible says that in the last days, this is Timothy again, Paul again to Timothy, he says, the Spirit expressly says this, that in the last days, that people will start to hang on to doctrines of demons. They will tell people, well, you don't have to marry. If you live with a man for 20 years and you're not married to him, and you know what people say, well, I've been with him so long, it's like we're married. You're not married. Amen. You're fornicating. Amen. Sure. My God, now people are going to get angry. I have to run now. You marry. Why? Because the Bible says in the last days, people will be unholy. Yes. This is a sign that people are more unholy. Yes. Boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Everything that God has given you, you have to be thankful for. Yes. You know what? I every time I drink a cup of water, I acknowledge that this cup of water comes from Jesus Christ. Yes. See, I don't live a life, my life that I live, that wherever I walk, I know that my foot has been ordained. And every place that God gives me is my territory. Yes. I say, it's my territory. Amen. Wherever you walk this week, it's your territory. Yes. You take that place by force in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you walk with this power of the Holy Ghost upon you, my God, He changes and transforms a man. I told this before, but if you know me personally, I'm actually shy, introvert. I couldn't speak and speech in school, but I've learned this from the Holy Spirit. He takes the foolish things of the world. Amen. Come on, the foolish people. The foolish things. I believe that sometimes my faith is foolish. People say it's foolish. That's what I think. But I believe that God uses the outcasts, those who are not full of themselves, but empty of themselves, because it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. Amen. Come on. When you're empty of self, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are full of yourself, there's nothing wrong about having a good confidence. But having a confidence that you think that you're on top of the world might just bring something about your life that will shake you to your core. Come on, help me out. He's the great one in your life. I said, He's the great one in your life. In the church, I speak to preachers. People are getting offended when it's being taught about the Holy Spirit. Offended. Many churches tell me that you're not allowed to lay hands on people because people say, the Bible says, do not lay hands on people quickly. Well, you're misinterpreting the scripture. Amen. When the Bible says, listen, the Bible will never contradict itself. Yes. Jesus said, go, lay hands on the sick. Yes. Now the Bible says, do not lay hands quickly on people. What does it mean? Do not ordain people into ministry too quickly. Amen. This is what it means. Yes. Read it in context. Yes. Come on, go study the word. Yes. It means don't ordain people as pastors and apostles and evangelists too quickly. Amen. Come on, somebody. It's for a simple fact that they don't have the Holy Spirit. They've got all the knowledge. When Jesus sent out his disciples, He sent them out with power, not with knowledge. Come on, am I stirring something in your spirit? We need the Holy Spirit's power. And then healing will come. And this morning, I believe, if you're sick, if you need a breakthrough, you're going to feel the power of God coming over your body. I said, you're going to feel it coming all over your body. And you're going to get healed. You're going to get sanctified and filled with the power and zeal. And you go home with faith in your hearts. Did you know that when you worship, no man can worship God unless the Holy Spirit worships through him. In other words, you've got God living in you that worships. Think about how this being, how this creator loves to be worshipped. That he said, I will dwell within you and I will worship through you. Yeah, my God. That's why he says, if you don't want to do it, I'll make the rocks cry out. Come on, somebody in this place. Are you excited this morning?
Amen.
Unloving. People do not love people anymore. Unforgiving. This is what happened. What I can't forgive. If you can't forgive, you will never ever experience breakthrough physically, financially. Any if people, if somebody hurts you and you can't forgive them, do you know what you do? You put yourself in a jail while they're walking around freely.
Amen.
Get free. Come on.
Yes.
I said forgive them.
Yes.
They're not. There's a reason. There's a reason why they're behind you in your past.
Amen. Amen.
People are in your past for a reason. Because they have not been destined to be in your future.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You have to get rid of some people, even if it means family members.
Yeah.
The only family members I've got left is my parents. I'm talking about blood relatives.
Yeah.
I don't come to the rest. They think I'm crazy. My passion drives them nuts. So what I do is I like my passion because then I see them even lesser. But I've understood something. The Bible says that Jesus, his disciples came to him and said, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. He said, hang on, who's my brothers? Who's my mother? Those who does the will of God. I'm looking at my brothers. I'm looking at my mothers. Come on, I'm looking at my sisters. This is my family. Blood relatives, not your family. It's family by name. And unfortunately, you couldn't choose them. You couldn't choose them. that portion, every time I see it, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Get your house in order.
Amen.
Where unity is, God's power will be.
Amen.
I said, don't let your children rule your house. The Bible says the man is the head of the house.
Amen.
But men, listen to me. All the men. Men says, well, I'm the head of the house. You better respect me. Give your wife something to respect. You can't say, hey, you better respect me, but your life doesn't give us something worthy of being respected.
Yeah.
Any man that serves God with a passion, your wife will respect you, brother.
Amen.
Your children will respect you. Come on, let me tell you something. If you know how to pray the heavens open, many people want to, they know how to open the bottle, but they don't know how to open the Bible.
Amen.
Your wife will respect you. If you know how to divide the word of God, right, your wife will respect you, brother. Come on, help me out. Your house will be changed.
Amen.
I've seen many times why children smoke and drink and do drugs because they see the parents do it.
Yes.
And if you give your children Jesus Christ, you let them grow up with the power of the Holy Spirit, they will know right from wrong.
Amen.
You don't have to say, hey, you can't do this. I don't want to do this.
Yes.
I know it's wrong because I've got the Holy Spirit within me. He's the greatest teacher. Come on. He's the greatest companion. He will warn your children of right and wrong. Traitors. Who knows about the traitors? And in this portion of the Bible, I'm talking to the real people, not those who live in a fairy tale world.
Yeah.
I've seen now on Facebook somebody posted that said that, hard times, we don't, there's no hard times. There's not even a devil to fight. I said, well, my God, I want to get into your storybook. I want to live in your fairy tale life.
Yeah.
Because we are real people with real situations.
Amen.
Amen? Come on. With real stuff to deal with. If the devil is no longer... a fact in your life. Why does Ephesians 6 to 12 and 14 says that your fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness? Come on. He says your fight is against the devil. This is why people are going through this season. And why all the things that I read now, why does it happen? Because the devil knows his time is short. And the only way that he can attack God and hurt God is by taking more souls to hell with him.
Amen.
This is why this is happening. And I'm almost done. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. No problem showing up for a party. But to show up for church. Well, this is Sunday, you know. This is the only day I can rest. I know you have to rest today because last night you partied up a storm. Rest on a Saturday if you need rest. But if you have the Holy Spirit, he become your rest. He becomes the peace.
Middag slapie.
I don't need a middag slapie. I'm filled with the fire. Do you know what? This is the way I see my life. If I sleep now, the afternoon, die vanmiddag nu gaan liggen slapen, it's precious time wasted. Amen. I have to be active in the kingdom. One day you're going to stand before God, you're going to say, listen, you got so many seconds in a day, so many hours, what did you do? You threw it away. Yeah. Most of us complain for half a day. You complain, just complain. I said it to a young man the other day. I spoke to a couple of young men. I said to them, if the world comes to you and say, show me your Jesus, what will you say? This young man looked at me and said, I'll say, go look at Vessel. I said, no. You must be able to say, look at me. I said, one day you're going to stand before God. You're not going to say, well, Lord, hang on. I'm just going to get Vessel. He's going to tell you what I did with my life. I said, you're going to have your own responsibility. You're going to be accountable for yourself one day. Yeah. Come on, you're going to be accountable for every hour, every minute, every second. If you complain and say, well, I'm tired of living, what you're actually doing is say, Lord, the giver of life, take your life back. Amen. You have to live every second like it's your last. Yes. You have to leave a legacy behind, not buildings. I'm talking about a legacy, a movement of the Spirit of God. And when do you know what? When I'm gone, when I'm with Jesus, if he tarries to come and I'm with Jesus, I want people to say, well, I know Vessel. How do you know him? Well, he imparted the Holy Ghost power upon my life. He released the supernatural to me to become natural. You have to be somebody that people look up to and say, I want to be like that man of God. Yeah, come on. I've seen it in my walk. When you meet the heroes of faith, that's the day of great disappointment. The day I met most of my heroes of the faith, I was greatly disappointed. Yeah. I'm talking about great men of God. If I'm calling names, you will know all of them. Big names in the world. I was disappointed. Because that very substance, that very thing I wanted in them, I couldn't find. Let me tell you. And this is when you have this, everything, the precious presence of the Holy Spirit. This is what sets you apart from the world. Amen. 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 Am I moving you? Amen. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. I've seen the on Facebook. I don't watch it anymore. I was a very good rugby player. I played gold for the Golden Lions. I was the best inside center in Gauteng. I was very good in rugby. Many schools wanted to buy me when I was in high school. And when I met Jesus, my passion for rugby died. Yeah. And another passion was birthed. Amen. I saw the Springboks, Paksa. And I went home and said, I'm never going to look rugby again. I'm never going to watch it again. And then next Saturday, they're in front of the TV again. Yeah. Have you seen the greatest rugby players are sitting in front of the television?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh? Die beste commentators zullen zitten en kijken voor die screen.
Yeah.
Even in een boxing match. Slaat hem zo.
Ja.
Jab hem. Maar hij is hier. But when it comes to church, the preachers say, I am blessed.